And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 94. I am Silas Lindenstein.
And I'm Samantha Rund.
Hey, and we're here. We're Black and a Half, and we are here for this exciting episode. It's just the two of us. Two of us getting back together for the first time since the holidays. Wasn't that fantastic? Right.
It was such a reunion.
Yeah. I mean, this episode's not in person.
No.
I can't even hide it, you know? I mean, they can tell on the recording. Slightly off. Why is it a little bit odd? Just slightly off. We're not in person, but we can see each other, you know, we're Skyping. This is like the holodeck version of a Black and a Half. We chatted today about there's a series that I loved, and I was actually only watched it because Samantha had seen it.
Yes, it was a great recommendation on my part.
Yeah, she's like, she wrote on this Facebook, said, "I just finished You. What else should I watch?" And I was like, "You? What is that?" And I saw the trailer and I was like, "Oh, this is cool." And so after I finished it, then I was like, "Samantha, we need to talk about this show. I want to talk about this show. Yeah. Let's take an episode." So we talked about that during the episode, not the whole time, and we didn't really have much for spoilers in it. So feel free. Hopefully this episode will intrigue you about that. And we talked about some other things. We were talking about our holidays and
talking about hair care.
Hair care. The Oscars. Yeah. It was fun. I always feel like when I talk to you, it's just like it's a conversation, you know? It's like less like an interview. It always just feels like I'm just chilling with my funny homie.
It's so true. I feel that way too. I'm like, we could have just been having a coffee or at this hour, a tea.
Yeah.
Except for we happened to record the conversation.
I was having a lemon seltzer. Kroger brand.
Oh, delightful. I'm just having the Brita filtered water.
Oh, free water?
My Starbucks tumbler. Okay.
Free water, I guess.
Yeah, I'll have some Lambrusco after this. I'm serious. I thought I'm not going to have any before the podcast because then I don't know what I'll say. Wait, even if it's Lambrusco? Just a glass. Lambrusco, it's an Italian sparkling red wine. What I really like about it, it does not have as much, at least the one that I get, it doesn't have as much alcohol as a regular glass of wine. It's like 8.9%. So I can have more of it without getting drunk. I can have a glass and be fine, or half of a glass. This one, it has a little bit. It has what?
You're such a teetotaler.
Yeah, I'm so out of control.
You're like,
this one.
No, teetotaler is when you don't drink, like you just drink tea, right?
Oh, I was joking. Okay. Like, I'm so not out of control.
Half the alcohol. It has half the alcohol. It's great.
Yes, it's great because I could have more without getting drunk. So lovely.
Do you drink hot toddies? Do you drink hot toddies?
If I'm not feeling well, I have been known to have one, but I haven't for a while.
Oh, another. My wife and her hot toddies.
See?
Yeah.
She and I need to be best friends. Don't tell my actual best friend, but other best friends.
For those who haven't kept track, Samantha appears to be my wife is the white version of her.
Which is amazing
that
he thinks I'm black enough to have a white version.
Isn't that great? Hey, you acknowledge me, I'll acknowledge you.
Man. But you know what I do have to say is good?
What?
You might want to try this if you haven't.
White Claw.
Huh? It's Fireball whiskey. Just a shot, like half of a shot with hot chocolate.
With hot chocolate. Oh.
It's so good. It gives it like a nice little cinnamon.
You know what? I could see
flare.
That. I can see that.
But I had a bottle. It took me like over a year to finish it.
Not as a I think I have some that's been around
for a while. I don't have any more now. Yeah.
But that doesn't sound like a drink you would drink when you're sick. That just sounds like a let me try that because I'm going to the kids' soccer game.
Oh,
and I want to hide what I'm drinking.
Drink that while enjoying watching Harry Potter. We talk about that too.
Yeah. You turn my little secretive drinking out in public into like just this cutesy little watching Harry Potter cuddled up with a blankie.
I have a blankie on right now. Animal. It's fluffy and white.
Oh, we talk about inspirational quotes. We talk about Samantha's obsession with inspirational quotes. That was a fun discussion. Some of my favorite. Okay. But here it is. Okay. That's what we talk about. Our ask for you today is if you could please go to iTunes or Apple Podcast, and if you can give us a rating, a review, it's really helpful. Help spread the word about Black and a Half. If you could do that, if you could share that episode, that would be wonderful. If you really like this episode, you're like, yes, I love this Black and a Half podcast. Share it. Just share it on Facebook, on Twitter, whatever. Get another listener on here. If you want to be a big supporter of the show, you can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf and become a patron, a patron of us, Stefan Ward, one of our founding Patreon member. Thank you for supporting the show, Stefan Ward. We appreciate you. Appreciate you supporting all our endeavors, actually. You can do that for the price of a cup of coffee a month. You could make art happen by people That's of right. color.
If you want to get crazy, you can add a cup of coffee and
like a croissant,
some fireball cost to that.
Well, that's a little alcohol's expensive now.
some Hennessy VSOP.
Yeah.
Johnny Walker Blue Label.
And then, of course, you can also check out the sister podcast for this, another podcast I host called You're Buying a Home, which can be found at yourbuyinghome.com. It is a home buying podcast that's played around the nation and has thousands and thousands of listeners right now. It's actually blowing up pretty big. And if you're in the market for a home, especially if you're in the Seattle area, go ahead and give me a call and I can hook you up with an agent in your area if it's not Seattle, or with me. And you can message me at silas@blackandahalf.com and we'll take care of that. And then the show gets credit for hooking you up with a house. And then maybe Samantha will make some money from here. Who knows?
Oh, that's so nice that you said that, because I was thinking, oh, if you're buying a house, maybe I'll make you some inspirational wall art.
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh, that's a great white thing to do. Someone had a joke about that. That was so funny. I heard recently. Art with words. You got to have lots of art with words around your house, mm-hmm. right? I'm trying to actually, do we have any up? I don't know if I have any up. No, the only art with words I have now says that's no moon.
That's the moon.
That's no moon.
That's no moon.
Yeah. That's from Star Wars.
So. Oh, I was like, that is a flasher quote if I ever heard one.
It is. Coming next time on Black and a Half, the Flasher episode. Okay, so
this episode was the Slasher episode. Next one's the Flasher episode.
This was a slash. We need to talk. Use a creepy show, but you'll like it. You'll enjoy it and listen to the podcast, and then you'll want to go binge it on Netflix. So here we are. Episode number 94. You.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by, stand by, stand by, stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
Live long, live long. And prosper, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper, and prosper.
It's been a while.
I know.
I feel like I haven't seen you in a while.
Partly
because of the magic of entertainment, how we recorded our last episodes together like a couple weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, like, I especially had to count, like, oh, wait, no, I haven't actually seen her. Not just since Christmas. because we weren't actually together Christmas Day, like right. on the show. It was like a couple weeks before Christmas, so it's actually been quite a while.
Yeah.
Like, how did the holidays end up for you? Did they go well? Were you around here?
I'm assuming this is like actual recording now.
Yeah.
I was just saying, like, how
make sure before
like,
you
actually not like I would say anything really crazy. I just always like to know what it's like
messed up,
you know. No holiday. How were the holidays? They were good. They were by us. It was my first time hosting. I did a lot of cooking.
Wait, at your house?
And cleaning and stuff.
At your apartment?
Huh? Mm-hmm.
Don't you have a little apartment?
No.
No? Okay. Mm-mm. Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were fancy.
But I don't have like, well, it's not huge, but it's not really little. But and we didn't have like, I didn't have like a ton of family members come over either. So it wasn't like a huge thing or anything, but it was just, you know, a lot of cooking and stuff. And it was fun. It was so fun. My mom was so relaxed. She was like, oh, now I'm going to have you do this more often. It's good.
Because normally she's the cook.
Yeah, or my sister. Yeah. But and normally I don't get to cook because I was working restaurant jobs and stuff.
Oh, so, yeah. I wouldn't
yeah,
want
so
to.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, I have the holidays off and I can cook and.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are the holidays for you?
They're good. You know, I feel like with kids, like I feel like Christmas was last week and suddenly it's Valentine's Day. Well, Valentine's Day was
you
just
seem so
now.
Excited about Valentine's like, Day right now.
Okay. So people know this is recording right before Valentine's Day, but it's airing right after. So here's the thing. Like we have kids. So one, there's and we got the two kids here. So it's not like we can do a super ton anyway. Like unless I get a baby, it's the hardest night to find a babysitter for one. And aww. Then because, you know, it's Valentine's Day. So all the young people want to go out on their Valentine's thing.
Yeah.
And then also this year it's a Friday night. So it's going to be
that's
crazy
true.
Out. Like, I don't actually even want to go to restaurants on Valentine's Day because it just sounds it doesn't sound fun. Like you're going to wait a long time. I would find like, actually we have gone to like kind of crappy places before, like for Valentine's yeah. Day with like bringing Sierra, like, oh, here's a little, oh, Mexican food.
Get a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. We should do that actually. No, we went to like, it's a little Mexican food place. I would never take someone for Valentine's Day uh-huh. but with our kids. It was fine. It was like, oh, we're not cooking. That's, we love each other that way. We used to always buy the love pizza too. Call it love pizza. It was like that. Papa Murphy's.
Is it in a heart?
Yeah, makes a heart-shaped pizza. So we do that. And now though that Sierra is old enough to babysit, she's not with me this year though. She is next year. So next year might make her babysit.
So yeah, next year she no might be like, love. Sorry, Dad, I got a hot date. She's not allowed to date
for
like
till she's 30. I don't know.
Yeah, for another long number of years.
I guess it'll depend if I'm busy. You can't go on a date, honey, because I need a babysitter. That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Time just feels like it goes by so fast. Like, I'm older than you. But, I mean, I don't know how much. But, like, you know, every year, like, things go by so much quicker. And I'm not sure if it's just because of the sense of because you've been around longer or if I don't know what the condition is, but I think there's an actual condition why things seem to go by so much quicker as opposed to when you were a kid. And like, I remember to every Christmas to now would feel like 5 years, right?
Yeah. Like
it took forever to get to Christmas. And I'm already like, oh my God, it's practically summer now.
Well, I think we have a lot more. Usually people get a lot more responsibilities the older they get, and like the busier you are, it makes time seem like it goes by quicker. And we don't have as many of those markers that kids have too, like school year, summer break, long yeah. Christmas, you know, vacation. And then when it's Christmas when you're a kid, you're not responsible for anything.
Yeah,
other than like having a good time.
Like when I was 26, even though I still felt like when I was up here, moved to Seattle, like things seemed to take a while to get to things. And now like it's just one after the other. Well, we do hit, besides Christmas, New Year's isn't like that celebratory, but my birthday's at the end of January.
I wished you happy birthday. Yeah. I got scared for a second, but I was I wish
Finn's
you happy birthday.
Is like the next week now. And then Valentine, like just go by all these markers. Like it is. And then Sierra has a birthday in March. Then I have Comic-Con, which is always a big event for me. So it's like everything just hits one after the other.
Oh, am I going to be cool enough to be in one of your shows this time? Or are you going to still say I'm not cool enough?
What do you mean? You're not
I was
nerdy.
Being sarcastic. Cool? I was being sarcastic. Yeah. You're like, you're not nerdy enough.
You're not nerdy. You're too hip.
Yeah, you tell that to other people. I am. I'm super cool.
You are like you seem like that lit nerd. You're like a lit nerd, right? You're if there's a nerdism for inspirational quotes, then you're an inspirational.
But your
nerd.
Wife gets that award too.
Oh yeah, no, that's
yeah. Like seriously, but yes, if there's a nerd for like I is well it's not, for the.
Do you really feel that
having
inspired?
Like what?
Do they really inspire you that much?
Like I love them. Yeah, most of the time. I mean, sometimes I see one that's stupid. Or I know, so judgy. Sometimes I see one that I don't agree with or I think, oh, in the wrong hand. OK, so the. Fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Or is it sting like a bee? Fly like no, fly like a butterfly,
float
sting
like a
bee.
Butterfly. Float like a butterfly. That's Muhammad Ali.
Oh, float like a. Float. Yeah, exactly. And like, that's a great quote.
Yeah.
I mean. Maybe you wouldn't say it's an inspirational quote, but it's just one of those quotes that comes to mind. And I'm like, yeah, it's great. Except for, wouldn't it be better to sting like a wasp?
That's a good question.
You know, like
well, they
some
don't sting.
Like,
wasps don't sting though.
Well, it's just if you sting like a bee, don't most bees after they sting
they die?
Die?
Yeah, they do die.
Yeah. So I would
float
rather
like a
not
butterfly
do that.
Bite like a wasp. I don't know. It's not the quite the
doesn't have the same
doesn't have the
doesn't have the same ring.
Maybe in Korean it sounds better.
And like, there's another one that's supposed to be one of you know the all time inspirational favorites of "It's never too late to be what you could have been," or "It's never too late to be what you might have been," and that's not true. I mean, you know, as long as you're alive, there's still options for growth and for dreams to happen. But I'm not going to be a prima ballerina now. I'm too old. I've missed that window. But it doesn't mean that I can't go take a ballet class again or dance for enjoyment. But
right.
There are certain things where, you know, I'm not going to get to play Hermione. That role was taken. And I'm too old now anyway.
Yeah.
So there's just certain things where, you know what? That's okay. There's still thousands of other things I can do. But I love inspirational quotes. But at the same time, I'm not just drinking the Kool-Aid blindly. You know?
I just see a bunch of...
Drinking it with one eye open.
Some bitter quotes. I'm starting a bitter quote series. I could have... Never forget who you are. And that's a sad, sad person. I don't know. Something got to work on.
Wait, you think that quote's sad?
Maybe.
Never forget who you are?
No, I'm like, never forget who you are. I'm trying to think of how do I make it sad. Never forget you who you are. A pathetic little... unlovable. No, I don't know. That would be sad, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, you can make any... of them bad.
Yeah, so probably. I guess there's always the demotivational quote series, right? They do that.
Yeah.
I guess that's hacky.
Yeah, I mean, people just usually have that on their heads in autopilot if they're not careful.
I get on a mix. Sometimes I feel like I have posted stuff that was like inspirational, and then like a year later on my timeline, I was like, that's not, why did I post that? That's not, I don't
it
think
just
that
doesn't
even means what it,
that.
I used to keep, like, when I was a kid, I had all these books. Like, I would get collect, like, books of quotes.
Uh-huh.
That were just, and my friends were, like, they made some. Of course, they were girls, but they were, like, made, like, this book of quotes and gave to all their friends and, like, read them, like, yeah, yeah. And I think I've always wanted to, like, I wish I could be quotable. I want to write something where people quote me.
You can just listen back through these episodes and pick some of your greatest hits, and like, that'd be pretty cool.
The snarkiest comments in the last 100 episodes. Here you go. I don't know, because I'm not like it. I guess maybe they're not always advice. Because sometimes you read an inspirational quote, then I go like try to find where it was from. Mm-hmm. Like, and sometimes it's funny to me that it was actually just said in a book, or like, and it's, or like it's lifted out of context completely, and it sounds wonderful on its own, but it was just like a throwaway line kind of in the book.
Yeah,
that didn't quite mean as much. Or were you a Harry Potter fan?
Still.
Okay. So like the, I didn't get that always was going to be such a big quote when I read it.
Oh.
Like, and now you see always everywhere, like about Harry Potter, you know, and a little and drawing I don't of love. And
when I read it, I can't remember what I thought of when I read it. I remember when I read that Dumbledore died, I cried.
Yeah.
But I don't remember reading that word. However, I do remember when I saw that in the movie, how it hit me, where it was like always, it was just like, aw.
Oh, maybe
like, aw, Snape, like it was.
So I'm curious actually about that now. Like, I'm wondering if, was it the movie performance that made it stand out more? Cause I don't remember. I can't think of it being shown. I can't think of artwork without Alan Rickman's face, right? So I'm not sure if that maybe it wasn't a standout quote until the movie came out.
I feel like it probably was. It's just, you know, I read those books once a while ago versus I've seen the movies so many times. It's much easier to remember the movies. However, with the characters, the first books, I saw the movies before the books, but then the second half of the books, I read the books before I saw the movies. Mm-hmm. So there are the new characters, it was really fun to see how I imagined them versus how they were on screen, like Rita Skeeter.
Yeah.
I had a completely different idea of who she was than in the movie. Both were great.
I'm never good at imagining how people should look. Like, they never look like I imagined in my head when I read them, like not even close. Like, even if they're describing,
that's kind of fun too, though.
Like, some people are like, "Oh, Hermione looked exactly like they imagined." I was like, "Yeah." Or sometimes I'm not even like, I don't have like a formed face.
Yeah.
On what they look like, it's just a general like. I always like appreciate books that have little drawings in it of like the character, like Harry Potter. I'm like, oh, okay, I get what he's supposed to look like, kind
of. Right, if they put the art on the cover, you get a little something in your mind already.
Little drawings before each chapter or something, you know. Mm-hmm. Always like that. Give me so I don't have to use my imagination in full.
Yeah.
You should adopt a couple children that are like 9, like 8, 9, just so that you can read them the stories again. I don't usually reread books. And so I was reading it to Sierra, and then she started reading on her own, or I wasn't around. And so her stepmom, my wife, was reading the next chapter. And so then I was reading along to stay up with it.
Yeah.
So that I could continue reading with her. And I was like, I forgot this. Oh, this is awesome. And the books are so, like, just so good. They're just so rich. And
right.
I think I've said this before on the show. My pitch, if I was going to pitch this as to do something with Harry Potter, would be I would pitch it as a series, like a TV series.
I remember saying something like that.
I think each book should be a season, and you can really delve into it. You can even probably get some other stories, but you can get all the subplots in there if it was an actual series, like 12 episodes. And
I mean, that would be pretty cool too. I love the movies, but I wouldn't mind having more to watch, you know.
But I kind of don't think books, like, if you are gonna take a book and translate it to get the similar feel of a book, it should be a series, because books take so much longer than 2 hours, you know?
I mean, books they do, but I don't think there's ever, like, they're always going to be different. They're like the difference between a book and a movie. It's always going to be different. I do get what you're saying in terms of how long it can be.
You get wrapped up in the characters in a book, right?
Huh?
Don't you get wrapped up in the characters in a book?
Absolutely. But so what I'm going to use for as an example is Anne with an E that's on Netflix right now. Okay. It's a TV series based off of Anne of Green Gables, the classic.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see
Yeah.
That.
And so, like, I watched those movies a bunch growing up. I didn't see the Avonlea series, but I still love those movies. But I also really enjoy the series, and they just have different, it's just a different feel.
I guess I always feel like I'm never as emotionally invested in the characters in a single movie as I am a series, right?
Huh.
Because you get so much more detail, which is interesting. So, which brings us to the series You we were going to talk about, right?
Uh-huh.
So You, I was reading about it. You was a book originally, and then it was adapted as a series by Lifetime, which makes a lot of sense. Why? Because I was like, you know, a lot of the modern Netflix originals don't really have clear commercial breaks times, but there's definitely commercial breaks in You. Like, as you're watching, you're like, the way it goes to black and then comes back at the same scene or just a little different, like a TV show does.
Huh.
So it was like that they removed the commercials, and that's what it was. It originally premiered on Lifetime as an original. It was produced by Lifetime, and then season two was direct to Netflix and became an original Netflix original. So it's now only on there, but I was like, oh, this is, I was like, how is this a Lifetime? It's too good. Like, it's a pretty good, but then I'm like, well, okay, I get the stalker thing. It's a little, maybe a little racier than I would have expected for Lifetime.
And it's funny because I was trying to remember, because I watched it before you did, given I watched it not too long ago.
Yeah.
But as I've been recovering from this injury, I've had all this time that I haven't been able to do much with. So I've watched so many things shows since I watched it. So
you didn't grab Wikipedia and just read up real quick.
I was thinking about it, and I read through a couple of things of like season two, spoiler alert for people. They were saying, you know, some foreshadowing or how you could have seen how it was going to end. I thought, oh, interesting. Yeah. If I watched it again, I'd be looking for that stuff.
Okay, so those of you that haven't watched it yet or haven't heard of it, so there's this series called You, Y-O-U. It's on Netflix. It's just finished two seasons. It's essentially follows, well, now we know after this two seasons, after once the second season started, we know that it was about following this guy. His name is Joe, at least in the first season. Joe is someone who becomes obsessed with a woman. And I mean, it's early on in it that you realize he's a stalker. Like, and it's from his point of view. It's kind of in second person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which is rare. It's just not the way the phrasings are just it's a little different. So it's a little off-putting, I think, as far as like in a, oh, it's automatically creepy a little bit because you don't hear people narrate in that way second person. So and you basically follow him stalking this person as then they fall in love. She does, he does, I don't know. And then, you know, the dealing, and it's interesting because like a part of me was like, so he's the is he the protagonist? I don't quite get. Is he the anti-hero? Is he? Because you're not even rooting for him, right? Because you kind of root for anti-heroes. I was trying to figure out what the hell he is. I was like, is he the protagonist? Because he's the bad guy.
I feel like he's an anti-hero. Isn't he also the protagonist, though? The protagonist in this case is an anti-hero.
I guess so, because I'm like, I'm so used to, I was like, is it that I'm so used to fiction where it follows the standard, the protagonist is always the good guy? I'm gonna look up the definition right now.
Yeah, because he definitely drives the action forward, but he's not a good guy. No. I have to admit that
he's a lead,
at least for me.
Yeah.
Huh?
The leading character is just protagonist. Yeah.
What I found so compelling about it was the character was so fascinating, and there were many aspects of his personality that I really appreciated, but then it's like he just took it too far, you know?
Yeah.
It's also interesting how when you see something from someone's point of view and you know their driving force for doing it is coming from a good place, yeah, even if the execution of it is not good, you know, it's coming from a sort of good place. It's hard to root against them. Like, yeah, you just want them to be stopped and to not do anything bad to anyone. But at the same time, you can't help.
Because, okay, also there's a subplot they put in where he's kind of helping defend this little boy, his
exactly
little neighbor. And so you feel this empathy and you realize, even though they don't really get into it the first season, you know shit happened to him. And
well,
so
yeah,
you're finding out, like figuring out, oh, he just dropped a hint, like, oh, he was in an abusive household. And like, oh my God, there's this cycle that he's in. And
even in the second
even
season
more
too,
so, yeah,
he's still also trying to protect this kid. And so that's where there are these really wonderful aspects of his personality or of his character. But and people are, that's the thing with people too, though.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's really pure evil. I mean, some are more bad than others for sure with their actions, but like you hear these stories of murderers and stuff, but then some of the people closest to them are like, but they were the kindest, or they couldn't have. And maybe that was like the 1% good of their personality, yeah, that just, you know,
but it's opposite too, right? Purely, it's not, no one's purely good, right?
Exactly. No, I mean, nobody.
This would be controversial. Nobody, not enough people listen anyway, but like with Kobe, you know, dying recently, like it's hard when people try to paint someone as like, it's hard as, well, you know, whenever someone dies also, like in real life, people are like, oh, they were an angel. Like, what are you talking about? They're wonderful. And you're like, you know, they're racist. Do you forget that part? You know, like in real life. Then with Kobe's past of, for me, part of it is like people denying his past and his admission, is that he also, to a degree, has this huge redemption story that is possibly just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make up in my mind for what happened, like it doesn't forgive what happened, but I think like if you're denying anything about it, they say no, it practically didn't even happen, it was non-existent, despite the fact that he said it happened and he was sorry that happened, like don't take that away from him. His admission was unique and great. Like nobody admits it. Nobody admits it, like to even to the degree he did. And then he went further in his life, just seems to have switched it all around and said, oh, I screwed up. And now I'm going to be an angel from here on out. And at least he appeared to be, you know, and you kind of, you take that away. You take the good part away when you don't. Somewhat is not as interesting of a character, a real person, right? It's like, oh, he was always just wonderful and magical, right? He was always just a good, kind person, never hurt a fly. Like,
I mean,
oh,
yeah. I don't know much about that story.
Yeah, you're too young.
Yeah.
I remember it vividly. But then, I don't know, even like Magic Johnson, you know his story, right? I mean, he was a good guy. But man, he slept around. Like you had no idea. And he was cheating on his wife for years. And that's why he got HIV. He has no idea where he got it, 'cause he slept with so many people. He has no idea. But overall, he was a good guy. He just had that one little, you know, that flaw, like where he slept with everybody all the time. Just couldn't help himself. and he was married, you know. You gotta brush over that real fast. He's really sorry though. But he's like, you know, he's not perfect. He was not perfect. He's alive. Amazing. That's still amazing. What, you don't
did the wife get it?
I actually don't think she did.
Oh, thank goodness. That's I mean, when you're telling me the story, that's why I'm like, I hope she didn't get it. I hope she didn't get it.
I don't think she did. They never talk about that, that she did.
See?
Yeah.
not to you, but I'm like, you know, in the stories, it's like, well, what about the other people that are around the super famous person? What about them? You know?
Yeah. But like we were saying about you though, like he was this bad guy that I want to I kind of want him to get caught. But then also at the same time, I'm like, okay, I want him to get caught, but I'd like him to take care of that's boyfriend of the boyfriend of his neighbor who's evil. If he could just kill him real quick, then I'd be good. Like, just knock him out.
Right.
And then get caught for the other things. Not with that one, though. Let the kid save the kid. It's a weird, like, I think that's what was so compelling about the show to me was I am both wanting him to get caught because he's evil, but also feel like having this depth of understanding a little bit why he's like, okay, if you can just tone that down a bit. Don't hack a phone. It did give too many tips. I did feel like it gave too many tips to people on how they could kind of watch people.
Ew.
Did it make you think about your phone?
Huh?
Did it make you think about your phone and what, like how, I should make sure that's locked down.
Oh, no. I mean, well, the other thing is, you know, I don't like posting anything on.
That's true.
But my stuff anyway.
I don't know what you're texting between your.
Huh?
Remember she had this fake life, sort of not fake life, but it was always like everything I'm posting is happy, but it was like the text messages between her and her friends. That he was like watching secretly.
Right.
Like, and you go like, ooh, you know, I think I text pretty well, but then I'm thinking like, oh, who did I make fun of in that text? What if that person saw that message? Ooh.
I did see what you wrote and it was deeply disturbing. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I have one major complaint about the first season though.
Okay.
I didn't let this, to his credit, it didn't ruin the whole thing for me, but it did bother me. It's because it's kind of a big plot point. It happens early enough. So a character dies because they have a peanut allergy.
Right.
The way he dies is he ends up from eating peanut oil that's mixed in with food.
Right.
People with a peanut allergy are not allergic to peanut oil.
Really?
Yeah. Because what they're allergic to, you can actually have peanut oil if you're allergic to peanuts because the stuff in the peanut is not what you're allergic to.
I can't help looking it up. It's like anybody allergic to peanut oil, though.
It's a protein that's inside of the peanut, the legume. Right. That's what you're allergic to. So I learned this from people who are allergic to peanuts. They're just it's amazing. They're like, it's weird enough. And I was like, really? And we looked it up and I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And so.
But it says not cold pressed, expelled or extruded peanut oil, sometimes represented as a gourmet oil. So what if you got a really expensive, fancy one that was cold pressed?
Oh, so that one still has the traces?
That, according to this.
Okay. Well, I could buy that then, especially if you're plotting to kill somebody because of it. Because I was just thinking the standard peanut oil that you walk in. So that's why someone can be allergic to peanuts and go eat Thai food, even though it's all cooked in peanut oil, as long as they don't get the peanuts. I mean, most people probably shouldn't because peanuts are everywhere there. So it's dangerous for cross-contamination just by accident.
Well, one of the things that I had, I shouldn't say an issue with, because you could have an issue with plenty of things in this, right? But there's such a big deal about the books and how much he loved the books and everything like that, which was one thing I liked about his character. But then in that vault type, you know, where the really, really special books were.
Yeah.
those books weren't going to hold their value.
With blood splattered all over them?
Yeah, I mean, those books didn't do anything to him.
Yeah.
Like, what? You know, why didn't he save those books first?
Yeah, he's, that was actually a thing I thought about. I was like, well, wait, these books are getting damaged. He's sitting in there with your prisoner. I mean, it's a common thing in both seasons, so it's not really a spoiler. I always, it's funny, I end up watching these movies or books that deal with like book collections for some reason. There's a detective series called Book to Die. One of the books is called Book to Die. And I think that's the one that takes place in Seattle, but it's about an ex cop who was like a book collector and was like dealt with. And so like the whole, especially the first book, actually both of them deal with like the world of like first edition rare book collecting.
Yeah.
Which I found fascinating. And then this and you like taking place in a bookstore mostly, and the way he dealt with old books and restitching them and stuff. And I was like, is that, I know, like, I wanted to know if that was real. Like, is that a thing? Like that you stitch books like this? Like
I would think so. It seemed very legit.
I used to believe everything I saw on TV. Like I always thought, not like everything, like I knew it was fiction and everything, right? But sometimes if it got into details about something like that, I just assume, well, they did research. This must be real, right? But then you find out
you've seen it debunked a few times.
Made up as they went.
Oh, well, I will say the way that he was working with the books and the hammer mallet thing. It reminded me of, because he already reminded me a little bit of Dexter. I think of this as romantic, like Dexter were in a romance,
this would be more like it, right? The pitch for it involving Dexter. Mm-hmm.
And the way that he was working with the books and the mallet or hammer and all that, it reminded me of the opening credits for Dexter, which I loved. The way that Dexter makes his breakfast with the precision where it's so precise and kind of dangerous. Like, you know, he's a killer from the way that he makes his breakfast.
Right. I'm trying to think, is there any other, I didn't really watch Dexter. I forget. Oh. I think it was, I didn't have the channel, and then I just didn't, then it was like, felt so far behind on it. I never bothered. And now I have kids, so I have to be careful what I watch. So I can't watch until later in the day, late at night. And when I can stay awake, and so I'm just trying to stay with new stuff. Always have these gap years that I'm like, I didn't see films. Usually it's when the babies were one or two, like, oh, totally missed. Dexter. So did you watch all of Dexter?
Yeah, okay. I did. I was thinking of rewatching it, but
True Blood is similar, right? I saw a couple episodes of that. They're all bad, right? They're mostly bad.
Well, not, like, how do you mean similar to Dexter?
Well, Dexter was a bad guy, right?
But not really. That's the thing.
Because he killed serial killers? Because he killed...
Exactly. Like, he's definitely not normal. It's not good to go around killing people, but he was able to channel that into a way where if he was going to do this thing, he only took out people to prevent them from killing more people.
Right.
Yeah. And he would have to verify they were actually guilty and all of that. So
he verified, like he knew that they were the killer.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't, but that's why I was asking about True Blood. Like, how do you mean, is it similar? True Blood,
I mean, a lot of them were, was there a True, good, they're all vampires, right?
It started out that way, but as the season progresses, it turns into not just vampires, but True Blood was the substance or like a chemically or lab produced fake blood.
Okay.
So that the vampires could be among the humans without draining the humans.
Okay.
But some of them still,
I guess I didn't watch enough of it to know,
sucked human blood and whatnot.
It's just, I don't know. I'm fascinated by this. I feel like you really pushed me as far as thinking about
True Blood, man. That has some racy stuff you don't want to
see. Oh, like, yeah. No, I did see parts of that.
Yeah, that
I don't want to, or that I want to.
Like, well, if you're talking about having to be careful and not being able to watch Dexter, I thought that True Blood was far racier.
Yeah.
Although,
well, sex. I mean,
Dexter had all that murder stuff, but versus, yeah.
I mean, look, I'm not going to let my kids watch either, but
yeah, I should hope not.
I'm more okay with them walking in and accidentally seeing a boob than seeing someone getting slashed.
Well, depending on what kind of scene it is in there, it's not just it's. Oh yuck, this just sounds all kinds of wrong. Those are a few shows that I didn't get on the bandwagon to watch right away. They were friend recommendations talking about them long enough that I'm like, okay, I'll watch it, because I'm really queasy and I don't like blood and guts and all that.
Are you talking sexually then? It was,
oh, for True Blood, you're
saying racy. Yeah.
Oh yeah, 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 definitely. I was saying that it's more racy in terms of sex than Dexter. Yeah. Dexter's, well, that's what more I'm saying. Racy, like the murder.
I do think
True Blood has violence too.
Like my 12-year-old, I still would rather her not watch slasher stuff, right? But other stuff that's a little more in the sexual oriented place, I'm gonna be less bothered. I'd rather, like, here's the thing, is like, I'd rather her watch it by herself than with me. I don't want to be in the room, but I mean, I still think there's limits, and I don't know that she's HBO ready yet. If it's a romance on prime time, even expanded cable, maybe I'm ready. Yeah. I'm okay with that, but I just also don't want to be there.
I don't know. I'm not always even HBO ready, like some of the stuff on there.
Yeah.
I finally watched Insecure. Finally. Oh, have you seen it?
Oh, love it. Absolutely love that show.
Yeah, it was great. I tried to watch it a while ago and I couldn't get into it. And then, you know, time passed. I watched it again and I'm like, oh, this is really, like, yeah, it's really good. But there were definitely some scenes that I was not prepared for.
Of black people having sex?
Well, wasn't particularly because they were black. It was just all the nakedness.
Well, I'm like, all these other shows, they're all, I will say, like, well, actually, I was watching that and Dear White People pretty close to each other, and I was like, I really like that. I'm like, oh, these are great, wonderful, where black people are just the features in these films and or these shows, and they're great. And I was like, are there any where they keep their clothes on, though? Like, because they gotta be super sexual in every one. Can we just have like a, you know, not a, I hate to say a Cosby style now, but that's
oh, different. God.
But like, well, Blackish, right? Blackish is great. That's a normal family, and they're black. But I was like, oh, I'm seeing a lot of naked people. But Insecure, I just thought was a good. What I liked about Insecure was how they were. They just lived being black without making it the topic.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I like the code switching that she does. Like, you see her doing it and they don't talk about that really.
Right.
You just see the casualness when she's with her friends and then switches off there, which, and I'm not sure even everybody would actually notice the code switching unless they happen to do it all the time. I liked that about it. And I like seeing black people in, you know, successful positions.
I do too. I love that. It makes me really happy. And I know I've talked about this before. I don't know that I've talked about it on this podcast with you yet, but I'm so glad that Hair Love won.
Oh yeah.
Even though I didn't get to watch the Oscars this time around, I still see all the things popping up in the feed.
Had you seen it?
I did. Yeah. Okay. I watched it beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, and shared it, and I just loved it. And I'm excited that the natural hair movement is making more of a spread. Cause it's just, I saw a video the other day for Microsoft, like a Microsoft video, right? With a corporate person, and she was black and she had her natural hair, but it wasn't in a high puff or a low bun or put back. It was just out there. And it made me so happy. I literally almost started crying.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I cry more readily than the average person. It's a skill I've developed. You're welcome. But it, if I wasn't going to tear up, I still would have felt it to that extent. It makes me so, so happy when I see like our hair just out. I almost never see that on television.
Yeah. Well, I'm not as conscious of the hair issue because of my hair.
Well, exactly. I think
short, and even having kids, it's been a thing where like I would forget to brush my kids' hair because I'm like, I don't brush my hair. Like I don't ever think about it. So
really,
no, like it just, cause it gets just like, I only think about my hair when it starts, the right side of my hair head grows faster than the left side. So I'll notice it getting down a little and I have to put water on it until I can get a haircut.
Well, yeah. Like as long as you wash your hair.
Yeah. So I don't think about it. So I forget like, then I need to go brush my kid's hair. Because that's not something I remember to brush their teeth and stuff. Because the stuff I do.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't think about. So Sierra was worse because the way her hair was, she did kind of need brushing. Willow's hair is so kind of crazy that it just, they say don't even bother. Like we just, maybe if you want to do, put a little water on it and push it down before we go. But otherwise, she brushes her hair right after bath, and that's it.
Aw.
So she always has kind of crazy hair when we leave. Mm-hmm. But if I tried to brush it, and just it goes from crazy to absolutely shit bonkers, you know, like.
Well, yeah, because she has curly-ish hair, so.
Yeah.
Right. Now Finn, she has kind of like the
Finn, the baby. Now he's a white. Yeah. He's a white dude, right? So I'm gonna have to just brush his hair. I'm gonna have to remember to comb his hair in the morning. He looks really cute too, like it's done up. But his hair doesn't get super messy either after sleep. It's just like bedhead a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's just an issue. So basically I never think about hair. So like I kind of forget until Sierra's, you know, trying to deal with it now, growing older and wanting to make her hair, however, for being stylish or whatever, has made me more conscious about her hair. And I will say I've made this joke constantly about myself, like with Willow, because she's only four. I will tell her like, Willow, do you like my crazy hair? I got crazy hair. And she's like, no, I have crazy hair like this.
That's so funny.
Because I was afraid that we were going to mention or other people would mention her hair being crazy. Like, and I didn't want her ever to feel self-conscious about it. So I always refer to my hair as crazy.
So she'll have a good association with it.
Yeah, if people ever say anything, she's like, oh, that's the thing we talk about or we joke. Like she won't feel a negative connotation if somebody says it to her. So trying to plant seeds early. Like how much do you think, have you ever bought hair?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I have wigs and stuff that I use for acting sometimes. Or like when we went to Vegas just for fun.
Okay.
Yeah, I was wearing one in that one picture where you're like, who even is that person? And I'm like, yeah, it's the same day. Like I took headshots the same day and just tried on a few different wigs.
But you don't walk around with a wig generally.
No, not usually. I mean, I think I've done it. Like if it's a New Year's Eve party or we're going to like some sort of event. Okay.
So it just doesn't occur to me sometimes that there may be people I know who I haven't actually seen their hair because they wear wigs.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. I had like braided extensions twice in high school, once in college. That was fun, but it wasn't for very long periods of time. I want to cut off the part of my hair that's not relaxed anymore.
But isn't that something you treat it to make it relaxed?
Yeah. It's like, I think, is it Chris Rock that like called it like hair cracker? I mean, other people have called it that too. It's just, he's the most famous person that I've heard say that.
Yeah.
So it straightens the hair and, it's not good for you. So anyway, I've been working. Yeah, I stopped a little bit before last February, but I just remember last February was like, yeah, what a good month to start it on Black History Month. I'm not putting this crap in my hair anymore. but it, some of it has grown out, you know, and then towards the end it hasn't, and I didn't want to chop it all off yet, but I'm so tempted.
Does your hair have withdrawals?
No, so it's not really like that. It's just I'm learning to style a different set of hair because it's a lot curlier now.
How does it affect your acting stuff? Does it at all? Like, well, auditioning for things? Are you like,
what affects it is that I still blow dry and straighten my hair. Like, I, not with relax, not with a chemical, but with a flat iron, so that I look like my pictures. And also because a lot of times I've booked certain gigs when my hair was curly, and then I ask, do you want me to show up to set with it straight or curly? And they're like, straight. So then I have to,
okay,
you know, just flat iron and get it to look the way that they want it. But I'm tempted to start using wigs more because
I can see that. Like, if my hair was so drastic, like, it takes a while, doesn't it, to flatten it?
It does, but, and also it's not just that. Like, I like having it all kinds of ways. I hope this is interesting for people. I don't know. But I like having it all kinds of ways. I don't like having to have it a certain way in order to get work. I don't like that. However, once I get better, once it grows out and I get better at styling it, maybe I'll just get to have it like that. The one thing is, which I was going to get to, one of the biggest reasons why I'm tempted to just start wearing wigs more for acting is because when I book a gig, I never know when I get to set if the person's going to know how to do my hair.
Yeah.
And back in high school, it was for a play, and somebody like essentially fried it, and it took a really long time to get it back to normal.
Yeah.
I'm making it more drastic than it is, but it's just, you know, you don't want to be super excited being on set and then have this fear like, oh, they're going to ruin my hair and it's going to take so long to grow back and blah, blah, blah. No, you just want to be there and be happy to do your job.
I'm always afraid. I mean, it's not as drastic, but like when I go to sets and I'm like, I've been pretty impressed that the makeup artists know how to actually put makeup on for people of color. Because I'm always prepared to go in like, I don't know what they're going to do. They know I got funny hair. They're like, oh, no. We got not hair, funny. Got funny skin. Are they going to light this right? You never know if they're going to light it right. They're going to look weird. Or if they're not going to know why. POC.
Yeah.
POC acting problems.
Right.
Oh, hey, before, as we're wrapping up here, you have a big workshop coming up, right? You're transitioning out of just, you're not a pure actor. Now you're,
thank you.
Right.
Well, yeah, I have taught acting and stuff before, but it's been part of a theater company or part of like under the umbrella of another company, you know? So Now I'm just more going out on my own venture to take on coaching clients more. And yes, this is the first workshop that I'm doing under my own umbrella. But yeah, this workshop, it is March 21st and 22nd.
And it's called what?
It's called The Gift of Medea.
Gift of Medea. So is it only women? Or you're only...
This one is only women.
Women of
female
focus.
But I don't coach just women. Okay. Everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because you have an MFA, right?
You know, yes.
Master's in Fine Arts and Acting. And yes. You've been seen in wonderful films like GA.
That's right.
So people, like, you're legit. I think a lot of people, it's weird, I think, for you, because like you're probably known a lot around town now as a comedian, and they don't know of you as an actor.
You know, yes, it's interesting when you have that sort of like a professional slasher. I'm the slash that slash this, yeah. Right? Because however people first meet you is often how they perceive you.
Yeah.
But I was just on a podcast with Mike DeVore.
Yeah, I saw that.
And yeah, and I did a podcast. I got to podcast with Pacciolo, and another one with Adam Tiller is going to be coming out. And I told them, you know, it's...
What the heck? You're cheating on me left and right.
No.
What is this?
No, man. They Everywhere. All know about you, baby. It's black and a half. They don't got our brown. No.
I was like, I didn't even know there were other podcasts. What's going on? I thought we took over.
You're the only one that matters.
I thought we were WWE, took over it all.
You.
Yeah.
You were the only one.
Oh, that's so funny.
Say I'm not the only one. Do you know that?
It's familiar.
Sam Smith.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Say I'm crazy because you don't know I know what you've done. But when you call me,
we can't pay for rights. I can't pay for rights. She is not singing a cover song. Let's be clear. I cannot pay for that royalty.
That was like 5 seconds. It can't count.
Yeah.
Can it? It was a parody. It was a parody about podcasting.
Okay.
That was it.
That's what it was.
But the thing that I told them, it's kind of difficult going from comedian zone to coaching zone, just in terms of the part of my personality that it draws out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like when I'm a comedian, I don't feel like I go around walking. I don't enter a place like, I know what's going on, you guys. Look to me for wisdom. I'm there to make people laugh, you know?
Yeah.
But then as a coach, it's like, oh, yes, wise one. See, I can't. Right now I'm in comedy zone, so.
See, I was a director for so long that it's actually, that's where it's hurt me in comedy. To a degree, I always like have a note for somebody. I'm like, you know what? Like, I know what would fix that. Like, sometimes it's a lot of performance stuff. So it's not like stuff I could really, it's not like I'm fixing their joke anyway. It's just like, I want to like, oh, if I could coach you, man, you'd be such a better, those jokes would land if I could just direct you a little bit and not people not realizing that, like how big, like big time people sometimes have directors.
It's true.
That will tell them, hey, you know, like if you on this joke, if you maybe try it like this a little bit and you might get a better reaction you know, just like they don't realize the behind the scenes stuff that's involved. Just like a lot of people don't. They think Kevin Hart writes all his own stuff and Kevin doesn't claim to write all the stuff. He's like, no, he has a writer. He has like three writers that walk around with him all the time. And what about this joke you said? Can we expand this? And they sit around and write it together. And Eddie Murphy's talked about that. It's like you hit the level and it's not just you. It's a team. Like it's you and writers because you can't write that much and be that busy.
Right. But I agree though. I mean, yes to that completely with any sort of genius out there has had other influences, whether or not they're actively helping them at the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, someone like George Carlin, pretty much all they were doing was comedy, right? Eddie Murphy and Kevin Hart, both, they're not only touring doing comedy, they're also involved in 3 movies. They're producing these things. They're doing some music. He's a Nike spokesman now, right? He's like, so he tells stories to his writers of his childhood and they're like, that's a good one. And helps him shape it into something. And, you know, they just do their job and there's just so much involved in it besides just going to open mics, right?
Right.
Like once you hit a certain level and there's more, you're doing more than just telling jokes.
Yeah.
Then you're in a writer's room, right? And you're doing stuff and there's just so much. And I like to think that's, you know, heading there with the
films and stuff. It still would be real cool to be in a writer's room one day to do that, to add that to the list.
Yeah.
So fun collaborating.
I do. I've enjoyed collaborating with you.
Yeah, enjoyed
hopefully,
it.
Hopefully we'll do that again a bunch.
Yeah.
Quickly, give me the date again for your coaching.
Yeah, so the date for The Gift of Medea, and I also just want to be clear, this is Medea, the character from Greek Tragedy, not Tyler Perry's Medea.
That is a good note
it
on
could
a black
be confusing,
and a half
although
podcast.
Both are big characters.
Yes. But Medea in the tragedy is a very, very different.
Very different.
Many black people have gone to Seattle Shakespeare to watch Medea and were shocked at what the hell happened on stage?
How many, indeed?
How many knew there was a theater?
Oh boy. So it's Saturday and Sunday, March 21st and 22nd from 12 to 4. And you can check out both days.
Yes, it's for both days.
Right. And space is limited because it's important that it is not a huge group for the work that we're going to do.
Okay.
More details are on Beyond Technique Coaching on Facebook and Instagram. And you can email me as well at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com. And I do one-on-one coachings as well, not only for performers. The whole vision with my coaching is using these performance techniques to help people and basically empower them to give them the tools they need to achieve their goals.
Okay.
A lot of them are performers naturally because of all the theater and acting.
But if you need a business presentation, if you need to get good at those, I'm sure it would help.
Exactly. Right? I got to help a few people recently preparing to do public speaking engagements. I helped a writer do some character development. And let's see.
Are you telling me, though, that you don't have a website called?
Well, my website is my personal website, or I guess it's still my business website. It's SamanthaRund.com. So I've stuff there for my acting, my comedy, and then for my coaching there too.
But you have the Instagram and the Twitter, but you don't have Beyond Coaching.
Well, the Beyond Technique Coaching is found on my website. Yeah, it's like running two websites right now just seems silly.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll chat about that.
I know. I was like, I could tell you're judging me.
No, I just want to make it clear. Well, because some people will go to, they'll type it in to find the website. So that's why I'm asking. Yeah.
Actually, I wonder if it'll even come up. Oh, and YouTube. I started the YouTube, but there's only one video on it now, but it's going to be coming.
I saw that one. I commented, I think.
Oh, you did? Yeah, of course you did, because I commented back.
Did you? Oh, I gotta go find.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my iPhone connects to a different.
I think I commented back. I followed you, and then I saw you on the 206 on there.
Oh, okay. My phone sometimes likes things on a YouTube account that I don't actually have. Like, I didn't know I had. It just when Google bought YouTube, it just kind of forced it over there. So it's not one of my major ones. So sometimes, like, I don't notice if I accidentally like something or commented and someone replies, I don't get an alert on any of my emails about it because I'm like, I don't know what the hell that was. But cool. Okay, everyone's got to check that out. We're out of time here. So there you go. This was a great hour. Talked about you. Talked about me. See, we'll see what I
talked
did
about the other you.
Yeah. Yeah, check out Samantha if you need any coaching or anything, and check me out if you want just to be yelled at. I think that's what she'll lift you up. I'll tear you down emotionally. Okay, all right. Black and a half.
Black and a half. Live long, and prosper.